Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. We're going to get started with Happy Feeling.
Spread them all over the world.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Frankie Love Van Maze right here on The Love Journey. We're going to get ready in time within, recognizing that there is power in the breath. We're going to get ready in time within, being very intentional about the breath. And I want you to know that sometimes we forget to breathe. And the breath is what connects us back to source. And so in this right now moment, I want you to become very intentional. And as we become intentional, recognize that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, recognizing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as we become intentional about our breath, I want us to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight. Then I want us to release the breath, family. There is power in the breath. And so as we practice the power of breath, we will remember to breathe through the process. And so right now, I just want you to be still as we call in our divine higher mind self, calling in the presence of the Most High God, the I am that I am, beloved presence of yourself. And so as we turn in, tuning in to the power, I want you to be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Let's do it again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Let's do it again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, remember there's power in the breath, family, and sometimes we forget to breathe. Breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Thank you, God.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today. believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Father God, we thank you right now. As we come together in this collective mind, we give thanks, Holy Spirit, just for the opportunity to know that we are more than enough right now, God. Just as we are, God, I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless our eyes to see our own greatness today, God. Bless and reveal our own purpose to us today, God. I ask you to bless our mind, God, that our thoughts will be your thoughts, God. I ask you to bless our words, that our words will be your words, Holy Spirit, that you will come in our heart and make manifest the glory of you through us right now, God, that we will do your will, Holy Spirit, that thy will will be done in us, as us, all around us, God, as we surrender ourselves to the presence of the higher mind, divine presence of you, Holy Spirit. We just thank you as you lead us and guide us, as we give thanks for this day, God, that you have given us as a present to rejoice in this day. We give thanks, God, for the newness, as we command the angels to go before us to create an ease, elegance, and grace, God. Somebody came today that they might be blessed, Holy Spirit. They came today that they may hear a word, Holy Spirit. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless the words that are spoken on this line right now, God, that it may speak to somebody's heart today, God, as we come together in this one mind, one spirit, in a collective energy, knowing that you will never leave nor forsake us, and that our lives have a purpose this morning, God. We give thanks to live the goals of our soul. In a mighty consciousness of love, I give thanks. Amen, and so it is. Whew. Good morning, good morning, good morning, family. We're going to get started with a little song, and then I'm going to play a clip. Some of you may have heard it already, but I want to play this clip because I just want to show us that no matter how we start, that everything is happening for a purpose, that God has already arranged and created our life for such a time as this, and he had plans of success for our lives. This is Joshua Rogers, Rain on Us, right here on The Love Journey.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. We need you to surround us in this place. Bring life within us, send a refreshing, Lord, saturate our hearts, send rain, oh, breathe, oh, shower down, anybody needing a shower? Within me, hey.
Wow. I love that song. I just thank God for the opportunity to know his goodness. To know God's goodness. Come on, God, surround us in this place today. All right, we're going to listen to Bishop Archer, who's going to tell his story. And he calls this story Trick Baby, and it reminds me so much similar to my story. And I just want you to know, no matter how we start, it's all about how we finish. No matter how things begin, God still has a plan, even when we don't see the plan.
I was 10 years old, and I held my mother's gun to my head, and I wanted to blow my brains out all over her wall. You must ask the question, why would a 10-year-old child want to die? 10 is a time to dream of being an astronaut, of being a soccer star, a football player, a preacher, a pastor, a doctor. But for me, life was so horrific, with so much vitriol and pain, I wanted to die. I'm the product of interracial immigrants. My grandmother was tall, white, and thin from Germany, and we called her French Fry. My grandfather was a big, burly black man from Cuba, and we called him Hamburger. Hamburger met French Fry and created a Happy Meal. And these two immigrants produced 7 McNuggets with special sauce. We would joke that we would have Wiener Schnitzel with salsa for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had to hide the fact in the 1940s in America that he was married to a Caucasian woman. But one wedding anniversary, he had a flaw. He liked to drink overproof Cuban rum. And one evening he was inebriated. And a man saw them together and said to my grandmother, why would you be a nigger lover? My grandfather, with huge arms, lost his temper and hit the man in the jaw and broke his neck. The man didn't die, but he was injured severely. He went to the worst prison, convicted of the crime. Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio, locked down 23 hours a day. It hit the newspapers that my grandmother was married to this convicted felon and she lost her job. But being a German woman, she didn't complain or whine or woe is me. She began to work odd jobs, cleaning other people's houses and toilets, taking care of their children. But as she was working, she would have fainting spells, passing out doing her job. She went to the doctor and discovered that she had a tumor growing behind her left eye that was metastasizing to her brain. And the doctor said, we have to take out a third of your face, your eye. You will be malformed and disformed and disfigured for the rest of your life. What do you do when the American dream becomes an American nightmare? She could not work. She was sick and mutilated. My grandfather's in jail. And day by day, they lost everything that they had acquired. They lost their house. They lost their car. They lost their furniture. They lost their dignity. They lost their self-esteem. And they were living in the streets like animals. My three uncles got hooked on heroin. They belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciple. And my entire family became atheistic. No God, no prayer, no Bible, no hope. And my mother, at age 14, was called by a pimp named Larry, who said to her, what is school doing for you? You are sitting on a gold mine. She said, where? He said, you're sitting on it. And we call this being turned out. And little by little, she began to sell her 14-year-old body to grown men for money to survive. It's called turning tricks. And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, you can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby. They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it, was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom. She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His Word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean by taking heed according to your word? Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes! I was born a trick baby, but the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the Word of God.
Woo! I tell you. Good morning. You're listening to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And I tell you, I don't care how it starts. God is always on the throne, and everything is always happening for your good. No matter what, it is always happening for your good. When I heard his story, I was like, wow, somebody else got my story. And I knew when I heard that story that I knew that God always sends us a message in the middle of our mess and turns our mess into a message. I want you to know today, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. It doesn't matter what and how things started. It only matters how you start and how you finish. And so no matter what it is, it's time for us to drop our excuses and step into our greatness. There's no reason for us not to step into our greatness now. It's time the excuses to melt away. When are we going to drop our own excuses? When are we going to let go of that I'm not good enough story? because the story we live is the story we tell ourselves. The story we tell ourselves is the story we live. When are you going to tell yourself that you are more than enough and that you are all that God is and that through the Christ that strengthens you, you can do all things. Nothing is impossible. When we recognize the spiritual truth that God will never leave nor forsake us. Today, I want us to stop holding on to any excuses, the reasons why not. And I want you to open up your eyes and see how you can step right into the beauty, the presence, and your greatness. Everything that's happened to us didn't happen in spite of it happened for us, not in spite of. It's happening to bring out the greater version of ourselves. It's time to step in our greatness. It's time to allow the champion inside of you to rise. It's time for you to step in your greatness because somebody is out there praying. Because you are the answer to their prayers. It's time for you to come face to face with your own magnificence this morning. And when you recognize that when God created you, I always think about all the wonderful things that God created in the planet. But there's no pride or there was no joy in the way that it was joy when God created people, you, me, all of us. And God loved us so much that God said, let me place all of myself inside of you. Let me handcraft you, divinely design you, and blow myself in you. And I want you to know when I do that, I'm putting all of the greatness in you. I'm putting all of me, the best of me in you. And when God looked at you, he chiseled magnificent on your heart and said, ooh, good and very good. Create a good meal or you do something that you know is phenomenal because you're in your sweet spot, right? And you know that sense of feeling that rise up in your body because you did a phenomenal job. I'm sure that's how the Creator felt when the Creator created the most magnificent gift to the planet, and that's us. We are God's greatest gift to the planet. And everything that was created for our enjoyment, the flowers, the birds, the bees, the trees. It was created for us to enjoy the land and thereof. And God knew exactly what God was doing. It took a long time for me to even recognize that. For many years as a kid growing up, I used to think, how could I not have parents? Why do I have to be in these crazy places living with people who don't love me, who don't care about me? Why? But the one thing that I loved so much was going to church and Sunday school. I loved to hear the stories of the Bible. And I used to win the Sunday school challenge every month. So every month I would win $10. I would look forward because I knew I was going to win, even though I didn't like the places I stayed in. But there was a purpose for my place there. It was a purpose for me to learn about God, even though I didn't like being there and I felt mistreated and I didn't think anyone loved me. And many times, going to sleep, crying myself to sleep, wishing, hoping and praying that one day I'll get a mother and a daddy who loves me. My mother will come get me, and I have a dad. But more importantly, I wanted my mom. I just wanted to be with my mom. But as time grew and life got, I got older, and I began to see that everything is working for the goodness of God. Everything. And I count it all joy because I know who I am today is because of yesterday.
who I am today is not in spite of, but because of. You see, I probably wouldn't have the relationship with God if I wasn't on my knees praying all the time. Let me tell you, I was praying ever since I was a little girl, praying. But you know what was interesting about my prayer? I used to pray, God, let me grow up and let me be the one to bring Jesus back. I want to bring Jesus back, God. And I remember one day on the road, drifting off to sleep as an adult not too many years ago after we started this prayer line. And God opened up this vision of me being a little girl on the side of the bed, twin bed, praying, asking God to let me bring Jesus back. And God said to me, but you are resurrecting Jesus in the heart of all people. Resurrecting the consciousness and the Christ of the light of God through people. Right now you're doing, I answered your prayer. And I was like, see, prayer don't always look, the answered prayer don't always look like what you thought. I thought that my prayer would be me one day being pregnant and me bringing forth this little baby. God said it was me calling forth the consciousness in people, giving them the tools to resurrect the consciousness of Christ within themselves. And so today I want you to know you have the tools that you need. Your spiritual tools is within you, and you can't lose with the stuff you use when you use your spiritual tools. Come on, Reverend Ike. But the first place we got to start, God said, is in our belief system. It's in our belief system, family. We got to clean up our belief system. We got to look beyond so eyes can see and begin to recognize and believe in the truth and to trust the process that God is all there is, no matter what we're seeing in this universe. But can we get past the belief, our unbelief, when we truly believe? I remember writing prayers, asking God. I remember just asking God if you could just show me, God. If you could just give me the faith of a mustard seed, God. You said that I could move mountains. You said I could move them from here to there and it will move. You said, be thou removed. You said to me, nothing will be impossible for me, God. And sometimes what we think might be a jail or a space, but that might be our cocoon space for us to transform into a caterpillar or from a caterpillar to the butterfly. Sometimes we have to remove and die from the things that we used to know in order to become the butterfly that we are today. I remember reading this, and I wanted to bring it up. It's called Nothing is Impossible When You Have Faith. And it was a similar experience to sometimes what I feel when I think about God. He said, I remember one day walking in the valley, seeing so many homes filled with families and children and people who had made it in my mind. I had never felt so far away from God in my life. Would I ever get there? It seemed impossible. It felt like the whole world was going on without me, and I didn't matter. I felt abandoned and alone. It was then that I wrote this prayer. He said, my dear source of all creation, pick me up when I can walk no farther. Help shine a light in this dark space so that I can see just one more step in front of me. Oh, heavenly source, please show me the way when I'm lost. For your presence, it comforts me. It restores me to fullness. My father, my mother, source, I throw myself at your knees and bow to your infinite wisdom. I know all things are done through me by you. I am your servant, your humble servant. Take me, shake me, oh muse to the bone. Make me so scared of you. You give me the strength to stand tall and see that my fear was wrong all along. Shake me to my core so that I might know what my heart really feels like. Strip away everything that is not needed so that I can see you clearly in the space that is in between my muse, my sweet muse. Protect me from death until it's my time to move on to greater pastures. Take me to the edge and keep me there so that I may have one foot in death and one in life so that I can bring these two worlds closer together. Thank you, God. Mother, Father, God, for these lessons, these moments of joy and sadness, I know they are a perfect recipe for bliss. He said, I meant what I said in that prayer too, to live on the edge. I just didn't want to go over it. You see, I had been living in a pool house for about a month. And one night I came home after another bad date and borrowed internet from some poor, unsuspecting house in the neighborhood. He said, I stood outside in my Jeep and scanned for open Wi-Fi networks and saw that my email inbox was so full to the brim with Twitter notifications. I also looked at my Twitter account and my number of followers had gone up a lot. In fact, I had gone from 1,000 to 10,000 people overnight, and I couldn't believe what had happened. Then I saw it. This reality TV show star, Kim Kardashian, had tweeted about me. She said, I feel so inspired when I read his tweets. They make me feel lovely and positive. I had just gotten another God shot. I love that God shot. This was a very powerful moment, and suddenly at a push of a button, I had access to 10,000 people. What was I going to say? Would it be good? I didn't know. But I kept on tweeting. I continued to gain followers, and now people were tweeting back that I was changing their lives with my writing. And I couldn't believe that a tweet could change a life. But apparently something was happening. I had a new burst of passion and energy to keep going. But even as I was being fueled by this wave, I remember looking around the pool house and wondering, why am I here? How am I here? It was so small. It felt like a prison cell. In one of my meditations, I even asked the question, why a room this size? Because, God, you are so abundant, and I am your child. Why something so small, Father, Mother, God? And the answer I got back was so immediate. This room represents the size of your faith. And the thought gave me chills because I knew it was true. I had surrendered my faith to so many other people. I hadn't followed my own true calling. And this room represented how much faith I had in myself and in God to support me in following my own bliss. And as I kept meditating, I remembered my Bible and what Jesus said. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 17 and 20, NKJV version, to laugh out loud. I absolutely couldn't believe this. I could probably fit a billion mustard seeds into my pool house, but I saw that even though I was in such a small room, I was being supported. In fact, I had plenty of faith. It was in that moment that I began to see the pool house wasn't a jailhouse. It was my cocoon. I was transforming from a caterpillar to a butterfly, but I had to die first. I had to die first. I had to surrender to the presence. I had to let go of my old way. And sometimes what feels like a jail may just be the place that God has for you to live your purpose and find yourself. An interesting thing, I was listening to an interview with someone who had spoke to Nelson Mandela. And they asked Nelson, how in the world could you go from prison to president? And he told him that I had to go to prison so that I could die, because the person I was before I went to prison could have never been the Nelson Mandela president of the South Africa. He could never have been. See, it was the forgiveness. It was the work that I did inside of my cocoon that made me the butterfly that I am today. He said, I could never have become the president of South Africa if I hadn't had that jail experience. Point of view, surrender is one of the greatest tools in our toolbox. And I know that surrender is a very complex word sometimes. It brings confusion because on the surface, surrender is like giving up, giving in, and being lazy. It seems like passive and a weak approach to life. But in the spiritual world, surrender is the greatest tool. See, let's define surrender. Nelson Mandela said he had to surrender. He had to let go of the person he was in order to become the person God intended him to be. And prison was just a place for him to be that person so that he could become the president. Life is not happening to us, it's happening for us. Surrender means to submit or to yield, right? So with that in mind, it's vital to understand what we are surrendering to, though. We're not surrendering to fear or to anger, to low self-esteem. We are letting that force run us. We are giving up and giving in to energies that don't serve your greatest good. No, we're talking about surrendering with a big S. I'm talking about something much greater, grander, more meaningful than negative energy. If we all cultivate the kind of surrender, there will be no enemy because we realize that we're all brothers and sisters floating through space on the same rock with the same resources. See, the kind of surrender I'm talking about is the surrender with a capital S, surrender with a capital S, surrender with the capital L, surrender to love because love is the energy that created our universe. God is synonymous with love. This energy is kind, creative, and knows us far better than we do. See, the energy of God, love, gave us these gifts, gave us these talents, and gave us these purpose. So when we surrender, we are not surrendering to human beings of fallible, or do we submit to a negative thought pattern? No, when we surrender, we give up to our energy that created us, the energy that will guide us perfectly. See, when we surrender to the energy of God, the energy of love, we let go and we let ourselves be lived by it. We let it be fuel every cell in our body. We don't try to control or manipulate. We allow God to move and have God's being in us, as us, all around us. Faith in this process is like faith. Is this process is the soil in which we flourish. This is no different than a seed being firmly planted in the right soil and water. You are the seed. I am the seed. Faith is the soil, and love is what grows. The seed effortlessly grows into its fullest expression, not by force, but with ease. If you're having a hard time believing that a kind, wise, and loving, and compassionate God created us, this universe, and I want you to just sit one day and just ask God to show you God's self. I want you to let go and let love guide you. I'm not talking about a romantic love, not an emotional love, not your love, because I'm talking about love with a capital L, that creative energy that created all of us, the creation of all creations. I want you to let love guide you and give in to it and let it guide you. I want you to sit and just let love breathe into every cell in your body. And when you do this, all the illusions of your life that do not resonate with love will burst. It may seem like your world is turning upside down, but it's totally normal. It's kind of like waking up from the matrix. You're going to see things all kind of different. Just stick with it. If you have problems, worries, or desires, just hand them over to love. Just hand it over to love. Lay them down at the feet of love and stop trying to solve your own problems with your own mind, because it's your mind. Albert Einstein said we can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. Let me say that again. Albert Einstein said we cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it. So I want you to lay down, feet of love, all the desires and worries and things that have caused you to be in a place that's separate from the truth. Stop trying to solve your problems with your own mind and give love room to step in and help guide you. When you do this, you'll be led to the most powerful, strangest, most beautiful of places. Some people will leave your life. New ones will come. You may be fired or feel called to quit your job. You may realize you are not in a loving relationship. Whatever it may be, whatever you feel, love is guiding you to jump right in. See, faith in yourself and in love pays massive dividends. Let me say that again. Somebody should tweet that. Faith in yourself and in love pays massive dividends. We are energetic beings, and love is the highest energy in the universe. Somebody ought to know that. I'm going to say that again. I want you to breathe this in. We are energetic beings, and love is the highest energy in the universe. Some people say that love doesn't pay the bills. But if they knew who and what love was, they'd know it'd do more than pay the bills. When you do what you love, you will go through a phase of trials. But at the end of that process, if you stick with it, you will be rewarded not only with a greater sense of purpose and accomplishment, but with financial reward. Love protects anyone who pursues love and welcomes love in its place. In his life, in your life, people change, the economy changes, and life can be confusing, but love never changes. Love never changes. Surrender to love. Give it a try. Give it a try for 30 days and let me know what happens. Heck, maybe even give it a year. If your way hasn't worked so far, perhaps this might be a better way. Let love direct your path. Let love show you the way. You see, my grandmother used to tell us that there's no ill that love can't heal. There's no prescription that love can't fill, and there's no question that love can't answer. Being unwise to what she said didn't mean a thing to me. What does she mean? And what does this mean? But I've come to learn. You see, I come to understand that when we surrender, when we let go, and we stop being depressed and staying hidden from the truth, and stop hiding ourselves from people who want to love us and who wants to help guide us, and stop shutting ourselves from love, we can open ourselves to a true understanding of our being. But we got to surrender. We got to stop hiding. We got to stop playing small. We got to stop trying to answer the phone to people who want to support us and help us. We got to stop right now and open ourselves to love. Love is calling your name. Will you answer? Love is calling your name. Will you answer? Or will you continue to play small and hide? The question is up to you. Into us, not against us, but. And so today, whatever is hurting you, whatever is causing any pain, whatever is causing you to feel the way you feel, I want you to right now call forth love. If there's a financial situation, take your money burdens and place it in the hands of love. Right now, God. If there's a physical presence of something that's showing up in your body, call forth the love in it and ask you, what is the lesson? What is the blessing? Because there's nothing to heal, only God to be revealed. What are you here for? And send it into the place of love. Sit it at the feet of love right now, family. If you have a relationship, your child, your husband, your spouse, your wife, place them in the hands of love right now. Sit it at the feet of love and call forth the blessing in that relationship, knowing that God is all there is. Love is all there is, family. And so today, can you leave it in the feet, in the hands of love today? Will you stop playing small? Will you stop allowing yourself to be caught up in a drama of our own worst enemy? And guess what our worst enemy is? Our own thoughts. Our own thoughts is what's keeping us from being and living and expressing our true nature, what is to be abundant and expressions of God. And most of those root thoughts is not good enough, not something enough, not this enough. When I come to tell you today, you are more than enough just the way you are. The day you was born, you were more than enough. You were put in the womb of your mother's belly, and God knew and had plans of success for you. You are more than enough. Place it in the hands of love. Surrender to the hands of love. Can you do that today? That's my message. Surrender to love. I'm going to play this Michael Jordan, then I'm going to let us go. Michael Jordan said it was his 10,000 failures that caused him success, that propelled him to his greatest version of himself. He said it wasn't the, he said he apologized if I made you think it was my flash and not my, think it all started at the free throw line. But he said better. Let me let you hear. This is Michael Jordan right here on the Love Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jordan.
Every day, the first person there before the sun would be Jordan. And he was there because he wasn't good. He would work with a batting instructor and work all day long and be the last person to leave every night also. I asked him what it was like for him in the morning. And Jordan said, I get up before the sun comes up and I make myself some breakfast by myself. He was down there alone. And I get in the car and I'm driving to spring training, and there's no one really out on the roads yet. And I look at the seat next to me, and I see my dad. And I talk to him. I think to myself, Pops, we're doing this. We're doing this together. And the day would end, and he would say to the batting instructor, can we do a little more? I think I'm getting this. I think I'm learning this. I think I'm getting this. And that's when Sports Illustrated put him on the cover, saying that Michael Jordan is embarrassed baseball. And as I would watch him there every night as the sun was going down and the other ball players had left, and I would see this guy working to get better, Michael Jordan working to get better, I couldn't help thinking that if you ever have children, you ought to pray that they grow up someday to embarrass you like this.
What it did teach me was don't be afraid to try. The worst thing that can happen is it doesn't pan out the way that you envision it. But at least you know that by giving it a shot.
You never succeed without that possibility of failure. I mean, each time that I do something, I can go in or I can lose. And it's that inner confidence that you got to have to take that chance.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym. Maybe I made you think that every shot I took was a game winner. That my game was built on flash and not fire. Maybe it's my fault that you didn't see that failure gave me strength, that my pain was my motivation. Maybe I led you to believe that basketball was a God-given gift and not something I worked for every single day of my life. Maybe I destroyed the game. Or maybe you're just making excuses.
Everything that I've done in my life, I've taken a chance in either succeeding at it or failing at it. But I've taken that chance, and I will not let the opportunity of failure stop me from doing something that I truly, truly enjoy doing.
Jones to Jordan, left the top of the key, shoots from there, he scores! Jordan scores! Jordan scores! The Wizards win 93-92!
had a lot of fantastic moments in sports. What's the greatest moment?
I mean, what started everything? You
don't say that. Don't say the shot against you.
Yeah, that was the greatest moment because I think that took me from a. If I had any doubts about playing on college level or playing with the big guys, you know, that shot gave me the confidence that I belonged where I was, you know, and that it was, you know, if you put your mind to doing whatever you want to do, you know, good things can happen, you know. So before anything else happened with Michael Jordan outside of that game and against you guys, that shot gave me the idea that I could be better than what people think and I can, you know, surpass any expectations that I may have for myself.
Let me turn it. What's your greatest disappointment in sports?
I haven't had any disappointments. I mean, you know, sports is a tool that teaches, you know, and it teaches you bad things. It can also teach you good things. It's how you perceive those things. I've looked at every experience that I've had, negative and positive, and taken that as a positive. You know, if I wouldn't change anything because I think it would alter some of the other things that happened. You know, so when I look back, I can't say that I've had any bad things happen. Sure, I mean, you don't want bad things to happen, but you deal with bad things. You can't have good or without bad.
Who's your favorite guy to play against?
Myself. If I can really elaborate on why I said myself more so than another athlete, is that because a lot of times I had to battle with myself to keep challenging myself. You know, that to me was why I would say the biggest battle was myself, because when you get to a certain pinnacle, you got to find some ways to keep going out there for 82 games. My competitive drive is far greater than anyone else that I've met. You know, I think that I thrive on that. I think that's my biggest motivation in life, you know, is to compete, you know, find different competitions in certain things in life and try to overcome that, you know, be it positive or negative. But I have yet to meet someone who is as competitive as me, you know, and I just feel that much confident about my competitive drive.
I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career.
I think what made him so special as a marketing icon is that he was natural. Today, when everyone really tries to be like Mike, they're trying so hard to invent a persona. I think that people see through that and it doesn't stand the test of time.
I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed.
He runs his corporate empire from high atop Chicago, the city that made him famous.
Could you have imagined when you first started playing that one day you'd be sitting up here running a company that's worth $500 million?
No. I never really thought about it. All I thought about was doing what I was good at and letting that open up a lot of opportunities for me and choosing from that point on.
Michael, which were you more proud of, your athletic skills or the mental skills that you brought to the game, and which was more difficult to keep up?
The mental skills came with the education of the game, you know, that either I learned from Coach Smith before I got here, or I learned in the course of the coaching staff that I've been endured with. The mental part is hard because you have to really learn taking everything that you've learned over a period of time and apply that to your game and tie that into the physical aspect to your game and make the complete basketball player that you try to become. You know, so physically it's a little bit easier, but the mental part is the hardest part, and I think that's the part that separates the good players from the great players.
There's a lot of conversations about what your game is capable of achieving. And I'm a firm believer that if you have a good game, your game is going to say that. You know, you don't have to say it. So I guess it's trying to play down some of the trash talking, you know, animosity that's between in words and the whole promotional thing. Let your game be your promotion, your marketing tool. And that was our whole era, you know. Our game gave the labels of what our basketball skills were, and then the marketing came around that. Now it's changed, you know. So I'm trying to revert back to where your game do all your talking instead of what we may say and what someone else may say about your game.
As you leave the game, what message do you want to leave to young athletes that are coming on?
Be true to the game, because the game will be true to you. If you try to shortcut the game, then the game's going to shortcut you. If you put forth the effort, you know, good things will be bestowed upon you. You know, that's truly about the game. And in some ways, that's about life, too.
One day you might look up and see me playing the game at 50. Oh, don't laugh. None of that. Never say never. Because limits, like fears, are often just an illusion. Thank you very much.
I love that. Limits are like fears. It's just an illusion. I'm going to say that again. Limits like fears are just an illusion. Wow. It's time for us to stop doubting our doubts, right, family? And start knowing that we are all truly amazing beings, here to do amazing things. And so today I want you to remember, surrender it all to love. Surrender it all to love, family. Surrender it all to love. This is Doubt Your Doubts. I know I played it the other day, but sometimes we need to be reminded repetitiously to doubt our doubts. Have a good, wonderful, amazing day, family.
I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true, because after all, Mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child and envied them, because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt. What it feels like to have your entire belief system overload with skepticism, to never know the day that you would finally be able to live beyond the shadow of a doubt. I've lived in its darkness for so long, it seems like I have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and my faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of my palms. God, every night I lay my head down to sleep, the city of my mind is attacked by a legion of questions threatening the living rooms of my sanity and holding them hostage. Can you help me? Last year, my grandmother laid in a hospital bed like a bus stop waiting for God to come pick her up. I had never seen such pain and such confidence living in the same eyes when she told me, "I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know who I belong to." And I was so happy for her. And something inside of me wished that somehow before she passed away, she could pass down her confidence in God to me like an old family picture. I remember sitting in the back row of a cold sanctuary, crying, because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me, in a backpack full of fear, and nowhere to go. No one to help me unpack. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles. They are maps that show you the winding roads that lead to my pain. I'm tired. And I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? Back? There's no home for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. Today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know that I'm not just making friends with these walls when I pray. I'm not questioning you. I just got questions. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me. My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you. Faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears, my child. Don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know my truth, and you're scared. Scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. That one day they will all laugh you right out of their classrooms and scorn you out of their courtrooms. But my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels like you are drowning, in a sea of your questions, just know I'm there. I'm there. Like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holes will hold you. And when I told you that I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hands? See, we are married. For better or for worse. Through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer, you are mine. You are mine, and I am yours, I promise.
Wow.